here.
Okay. One of those folders. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So what is the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya? Here is Lord Chaitanya, the central figure in this picture, with all of his Bhakta Vrinda. Bhakta Vrinda means his transcendental associates. And what are they doing? They are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they are doing what incarnations of Krishna always do, they kill demoniac mentality. Krishna appeared in the previous age as a member of the warrior class, and he wielded his razor-sharp disc called the Sudarshana Chakra to eliminate certain tyrants and demons from the world, like Sisupal, Jarasandra, Duryodhana, and others. But in this age, which is called the Kali Yuga age or the winter season, everybody is tinged with demoniac qualities. Everyone has demoniac tendencies. We have good tendencies, we have bad. So we have the good and we have the bad within us. And things aren't as clear-cut as they were in previous ages. So Lord Chaitanya, or Krishna, has come as Lord Chaitanya, not to physically kill anybody, but to kill the bad guy within each one of us. And how does he do that? He also has his weapon, just like in the previous age Krishna had his razor-sharp disc. Lord Chaitanya's weapon is the Maha Mantra, or Sankirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in the previous age, the Lord appeared as Krishna in a darkish complexion. And as Krishna, he appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and exhibited all the opulences of Godhead himself. In this present age of Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord again appears, but not as God. He appears as his own devotee. And his purpose is to show us how we can worship the Lord and setting that kind of an example. What the phenomenon is, or the dynamic that's involved here. You see on the altar, Krishna on our left-hand side, and on his left-hand side is Srimati Radharani. Radha means worship, and Rani means queen. By his side is Srimati Radharani, the mistress of all the devotional arts. She loves Krishna so deeply that it's a mystery to Krishna. Krishna is God, and God knows everything. But one thing that even God can't understand is the magnitude of his devotees' love for him. This is one mystery that's not available to God in his manifestation as God. So in order to understand it, he has to take the role of a devotee in order to taste that same flavor. So he comes in the present age, not in the blackish color, not in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he rather takes on the complexion of Radharani. Her complexion is that of molten gold. And so when Lord Chaitanya tries to fathom the magnitude of Radha's love for him, he enters into the mood of Radharani and he assumes the complexion of Radharani. And when he descends, he's known as Gaura or Gauranga, the golden avatar. And his life is very, very amply chronicled. He appeared only 500 years ago and he had many, many biographers. He was on the planet for 48 years altogether. And the early life of the Lord is described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who wrote a book called the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And the later pastimes of the Lord, when he was primarily in Jagannath Puri, those are described in a book called the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And those books are all available downstairs in our library to the English-speaking public. The Lord's early life was recorded by Murari Gupta, who was a medical practitioner at that time. And then the latter part of his life was recorded by his private secretary, Sri Shroop Damodar, and Srila Shroop Damodar, who was a constant companion of the Lord. So when Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote his biography, he interviewed extensively Shroop Damodar and questioned him and extracted from him all the juice of the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So Srirupa Damodar was the main source for the biography of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a 17-volume work altogether. The year of the Lord's birth was 1486. The place of his birth was Navadvip in the province of West Bengal, and he appeared during a lunar eclipse. It was a full moon, it was a Purnima, but the moon was being eclipsed. And the custom of people during a lunar eclipse is to go and go to the Ganges River and to loudly chant Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Hari is a name for God, which means who takes away miseries, and Bol means shout. So on this occasion of a lunar eclipse, people would go down and they would shout at the top of their lungs, Hari Bol and Hare Krishna. And it was at that moment that Lord Chaitanya appeared. So we can get a good idea what his mission was to be in life. It was to propagate the chanting of Hari Bol or Hare Krishna. His parents were a Brahmin named Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, and these are deities of his parents in West Bengal. And he was born under a neem tree. Neem is a variety of eucalyptus, and every village has a lot of neem trees. The neem tree is called the village pharmacy because it'll cure whatever ails you. You take neem, it'll kill all the germs in you, and people even take the twigs of the neem and brush their teeth, and it kills all the bacteria. Nobody suffers from gingivitis who uses neem branches. And Lord Chaitanya was born under one of the many neem trees that were in their village, and so in his early years he was called Neemai Pandit. And here's a verse which predicts his appearance in this particular age. It's found in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. Krishna Varnat Sitsa Krishnam Sango Panga Parashadam Yagya Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Shumedisha. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates by performance of the Sankirtan Yajna, which is basically the chanting of Hare Krishna. This is the temple on your left here. This is called Yogapith. It's the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. It's a temple that was founded by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his disciples, who is the guru of our guru, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The very neem tree under which Lord Chaitanya took his birth is also pictured here before you. And here is our world headquarters, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is the legacy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has its world headquarters just about 1 kilometer away from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. This is called Sri Mayapur Dham. And in fact, as we are here today celebrating Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, there are between 1 and 2 million people coming and going in this temple complex. People coming, of course, all over from Bengal as well as from distant provinces to pay their respects to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the occasion of his appearance day. And in fact, at present, this central courtyard has been altered significantly. As beautiful as this landscaping and fountains are, they've all been torn down. They've all been torn down for a good purpose, to build a $30 million temple of understanding, which will be a magnet for people from all over the world. So as in preparation for the construction of this huge temple, the central area right now is in a mode of sort of disarray, but all in a good cause. And not only are there more than 1 million people from India visiting Mayapur at this very moment in time, but there are 3,000 to 4,000 devotees, international devotees from all over the world, who gather for our annual convention. They have their governing board commission meetings, they have their worldwide temple president meetings. They get all their meetings taken care of so that then they can, having had their business put it out of the way, they can all gather and chant exuberantly for the Gaur Purnima day. And here are the deities. Lord Chaitanya is the central figure, and he's surrounded by the other members of what's called the Pancha Tattva. Pancha means five, Tattva means truth. The absolute truth appears in five features, the principal of which is Lord Chaitanya, but he's also accompanied by Advaitacharya, he's accompanied by Gadadhar, he's accompanied by Nityananda, he's also accompanied by Srivas. And these deities, I don't know if you can see it, if you look at the people standing below, you get an idea of the scale of these deities. These deities are about 18 to 20 feet high, and they literally weigh tons. They literally weigh tons. So here's a thoughts on the real guru. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, but he played the part of a devotee. When people addressed him as God, he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. We read one of many verses which predicted that Krishna would come as his own devotee. So there's no doubt that he was an incarnation of God, but even though he was an incarnation of God, in order to set an example to us, he did not allow people to refer to him as God. And in fact, anyone who claims to be a guru and who says they're God, Prabhupada used very strong words, they're not G-O-D, they're D-O-G. They're not God, but they're a dog. Because the bona fide guru styles him or herself as a servant of God. They never claim to be God. And at this moment or any moment in time, there are always at least 24 gurus, all of whom either call themselves God. Have you ever heard any guru's name prefaced with the word Bhagavan? I won't mention any names after that. But certain people come to mind who call themselves or allow their disciples to call them Bhagavan. So according to this, Bhagavan means God. Bhagavan so-and-so and Bhagavan such-and-such. But according to this, they're not G-O-D, but they're D-O-G. The bona fide guru is servant of God and not God himself. And Lord Chaitanya, who was God, when people would call him to God, he would put his hands over his ears. He would put his hands over his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, as if to counteract a great blasphemy, you see. When any ordinary person is called God, that basically upsets the whole order of things, the whole system of priorities. So by covering his ears, not only would he prohibit the assertions that he was God from entering his ears, but he would himself say, Vishnu, 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 to supposedly counteract the offense that he was being affected by. And a third effect of this, which is very interesting, was that oftentimes when children sometimes on the street, knowing his habit of covering his ears, they would also shout, Vishnu, 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 or Krishna, Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya would block his ears, it would make them say it louder, you see. And so he actually was preaching to them. He was actually communicating to them that when you chant, you might as well chant lustily. You might as well chant with full energy. And so three purposes were served. Not only instructional purposes, but also inspirational purposes by his covering his ears and shouting Vishnu. The meaning of his name, Chaitanya, means the living force as exhibited in eternity. Water in its natural state is liquid. Artificially, you can heat it and make it gaseous. You can chill it and make it hard and solid like ice. But when water is allowed to resort to its natural state, it's liquid. This is the characteristic of water. Sugar is sweet and chilies are hot. So the living being, the force within each and every one of our bodies, is when it's in its natural state in love with God. It's mad after God. That's what now artificially due to the economy and the times and the pressures and so on and so forth, we can be forced to think of ourselves as engineers or IT people or men or women or Americans or Hindus. But when we relax, you see, and when we meditate upon who we are constitutionally and what it is most natural and fulfilling for us to do, and how it is to describe ourselves. Because how you describe yourself, basically you're going to act on that basis. How you describe yourself dictates your actions and what you see as your duties. So the best way to view oneself in order to get the most satisfaction, to relax and to fulfill the purpose of life, is Nitya Sarupahai Krishna Das. I am eternal servant of God. When we're in our normal, relaxed, satisfying, healthy spiritual condition, that's how we define ourselves, and that's how we act in accordance with that self-assessment. So Lord Chaitanya, his name meant the living condition exhibiting eternity. So what was he doing most of his life? He was simply glorifying God. He was chanting the names of the Lord. He was offering his food to the Lord. He was taking prasadam with all of the associates of the Lord. He was singing and dancing. In fact, the very same menu which we're going to follow this afternoon. And his doctrine was called Achinta Beda Abeda Tattva. Now, if you examine the theologies which are available to us throughout time and history, you'll see they basically fall into, at least theological philosophy, they fall into two categories. One is that God has created the world and then left it alone and he has nothing to do with it. It's like a watchmaker that made a watch, he wound it up, and then he walked away from it. So God made the world, he has nothing to do with it. Another philosophy is that God is the world, that God is the universe, that God is love, you see. And he's not, but he has no separate existence from the phenomenal world. That God is what we see, what we feel, what we taste, and what we smell, and all the phenomenal things. Lord Chaitanya reconciled these two doctrines with his philosophy, Achinta Beda Abeda Tattva. That means that Lord is inconceivably, simultaneously, one with the universe and different from it. I'll repeat that because it's so important and it's so perfect and it's so comprehensive. The Lord is simultaneously one with the universe, at the same time different from it. And there are some common examples by which we can understand this. Let's say a fire is in the corner of the room and it's emitting light and heat. So wherever there is light and heat, you can say there is also the fire. So if you're standing over here and you're rubbing your hands and you're saying, oh, the fire feels good, right? The fire is actually 30 feet away from you. But you say the fire feels good because your hands are being warmed by the light and the heat. So in fact, the fire is non-different than the light and the heat. But the fire is also different than the light and heat. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So similarly, God, his energies are spirit and matter. And everything is a combination of spirit and matter. So there is nothing different from God. He is everywhere present through his energies. At the same time, he is himself the source of those energies, and he has his own transcendental personality. He has his own abode separate from this material world. So he's simultaneously one with everything, and he's also separate from it. That's called Achinta Beda Abeda Tattva. In other words, God is, he's everything, and he's more than everything. And Lord Chaitanya said the way to realize God in his fullness in this age, there are different processes of yoga for different ages. Just like you have different medicines for different diseases. All medicines are good, but they're good for specific diseases and for specific purposes. You can't just go and just take any medicine that you choose and in any doses that you have a whimsical attraction for. You have to follow the prescription. So yogic practices which may have been effective in previous ages are not as effective in this present age. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the most effective means of yoking with God in this age, and when you add this ingredient, it makes all the other ones successful. But without this, you're not going to be successful. It's like we have yoga classes here every Monday through Thursday in the evenings, and we also have them Saturday at noon. We teach Hatha Yoga, we teach Prana Yoga, we teach the asanas. But we also have Arti, we have Gita class before, which we call Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga, and afterwards we have Kirtan and we have Japa. Because we don't want to cheat people, we don't want to mislead people that yoga is just about exercises. It's about a lot more than that. And when you do the exercises and you add the chanting of Japa and you add the Kirtan, then you're going to get the fruit, you're going to get the result. The exercises themselves will not yield as good a result. So Lord Chaitanya said, Harinama, 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 Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. I believe we may even chant that later. He said, in this age of Kali Yuga, chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. Harinama, Harinama, three times positively asserting. Kalo Nasteva, 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 three times negatively stating, no other means is as effective in this age of Kali for God realization. Now, this is not a sectarian proposition. Because if you have a different name of God than Krishna that you prefer to chant, by all means, no specific name of God is enjoined here. If someone has a name that they prefer from their own culture, their religion, just go ahead and chant it. But the fact is that chanting bona fide names of God is the prescribed method for becoming God conscious in this age. And if you don't chant the names of God, anything else you do will not be nearly as effective. But any name of God will basically do. Of course, the great saints and sages in India for thousands of years have preferred what's called the Maha Mantra, or the greatest of all chants. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna is a name of God which means all attractive. Rama is another name of God which means the highest pleasure absolute. And Hare is an invocatory term. There are many names of God, and some of those names refer to as beauty, some of those names refer to as wealth, some of those names refer to as strength, some of those names refer to as fame. But at the end of the day, he's all attractive. Therefore, there's no name which is more comprehensive than the name Krishna, because it takes in all the other various connotations. So Lord Chaitanya, as he started off as a householder, as many young people are in India, they're obliged by their parents to get married. But his wife, who was none other than Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, passed away, quote unquote, passed away. And then rather than get remarried, Lord Chaitanya wanted to communicate the secrets, the truths of Sanatana Dharma, the truths of the soul. And in India, those who are unmarried, those who take a vow to be single and forego the process of household life and childbearing, and who dedicate themselves to traveling and communicating to society in general, because they live a celibate life, they live an austere life, they live a life where they don't develop roots, but they travel constantly, and they basically become public figures with very little of their own privacy, they get a lot of respect. They get a lot of respect. And so Lord Chaitanya, he, as a strategic, tactical decision, decided that he would take sannyasi, that he would follow a celibate lifestyle of a traveling preacher. And he was very, very strict as a sannyasi. This is where, after having taken sannyas, he made his headquarters. When one takes sannyas, it said one commits civil suicide. And so he had to leave the place where he was born, break his attachments to that. But his mother, Sachimata, asked him not to go too far away. She asked him if he would go to Puri, which was about a 3-day journey in those days by foot, but it was close enough that she would get news of him on a regular basis from people coming and going between Orissa and Bengal. And he was to spend the last 24 years of his 48 years on this earth in Jagannath Puri. Out of those 24 years, he spent 6 years traveling in South India. Now, when Lord Chaitanya was traveling, he came to one place, and the story of the deity in this place was communicated to him. It was the story of Kir Chor Gopinath. This is a temple in a place called Ramuna, not too far away from Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya's guru's guru, Madhavendra Puri, came one day. And Madhavendra Puri was traveling a long distance from his home temple. And this particular town that was famous for offering to the deity of Krishna beautiful sweet rice called kheer. And this kheer was of such a spice and such a constitution that it was the best kheer in all of India. And it was famous. So Madhavendra Puri came there hoping to get a little bit of that kheer and then figure out the recipe so that he could offer that to his own Krishna deity back in Vrindavan. However, he arrived after the deity doors were closed and the temple was shut down for the night. So he went to sleep in the local marketplace, just being a little disappointed. In the meantime, the priest had a dream. And in his dream, Krishna appeared to the priest. And the Krishna in the dream said to the priest, every day 12 pots of rice were offered to the deity. So in the dream, Krishna said to the priest, take one pot and take it to Madhavendra Puri, who's sleeping in the main square. And the priest said, but we already offered the 12 pots and then we distributed them to the crowd. So there's none left. And Krishna said, no, you're wrong. I stole one pot and I hid it behind the deity door where no one could see it. So if you wake up, you go unlock the temple, go in and look behind, you'll see where I stole the pot and I hid it. And you take that. So lo and behold, the pot was there, and he went out at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said, is there someone sleeping here named Madhavendra Puri? The Lord has stolen sweet rice for you. God has stolen rice for you. And that was the guru of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru. So this is one of many stories which is instructional, that one, if one sees a deity as stone or wood, then the deity will remain that way. But if one understands that God is fully present in each and every atom of his creation, then how much more present is he in the deity which is duly carved by generations and generations of carvers who do that? Who is installed with all the purificatory rituals and all the Brahminical priests, and with the covenants to be worshipped locally, the Lord actually agrees to enter into the deity form and accept service. So it's not stone, it's not wood, it's not inanimate, it's not symbolic that we consider God is actually here, present before us in the deity form. And so the deity is like an ATM of the spiritual world. You can offer your service and it will go to the right place. Here's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipping in the Jagannath Puri temple before the Krishna deity. You see the dark figure with the big sausage eyes, saucer eyes. That's Lord Jagannath, or the Krishna deity there in Puri. Lord Chaitanya, for the common people, he basically just encouraged them to chant in Sankirtan, that all knowledge, all blessings will come just from chanting Hare Krishna. But because he wanted Krishna consciousness to spread, whenever he would meet a big, big scholar or a guru with many followers, Lord Chaitanya would spend some special time with that person and he would bless them with devotion. They would become his follower, and when they would become his follower, then their followers would become his followers. So in Puri, there was a great scholar named Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He had thousands and thousands of students. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when the Lord Chaitanya arrived in Jagannath Puri, having just taken sannyas, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a monist. He believed that God is one, that God is part of the universe and has no separate existence. He believed that God is one with the universe but has no separate existence. And because he didn't believe that God had a separate existence, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wasn't relishing the flavor of service and love. He was just absorbed in theological and philosophical contemplations, and he wasn't experiencing the juice of love of God. But when he heard about this young sannyasi who was chanting and dancing, his fear for Lord Chaitanya, this is such a good-looking young man, if he doesn't ground himself in philosophy, he won't be able to maintain his celibacy and his renunciation. He'll be distracted by the women who will all be batting their eyelashes at him, and he'll be vulnerable, and so he may fall down in the future from this exalted position. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, thinking to do Lord Chaitanya a favor, took him to his home, and he said, will you please let me recite the Vedic truths, the Vedic philosophy to you, so that you'll have a philosophical foundation and you'll be more firm in the future. So Lord Chaitanya just, in India, this is, I'll teach you something, the custom of India, okay, I'll teach you something. If you're going to go along with something but you're not really enthusiastic about it, if someone makes a proposal and you're not really sold on it, but you don't want to say no or be rude, you just want to sort of be like equivocal, you just shake your head like this. Can everyone do that? And so Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was just going like this. He was, you know, just like that. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took that as a yes. So he invited him to sit down, and then for 7 days and nights, he spoke this dry philosophy from the Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya just sat, like, and every once in a while, Sarvabhauma said, are you listening? And Lord Chaitanya would go, can you do this again? Practice. Lord Chaitanya would go like this. And after 7 days, Sarvabhauma would say, are you getting any of this? Does any of this make sense to you at all? I mean, you haven't responded. You haven't shown much life at all. All you're doing is like this. Give me some feedback here, you know. Help me out. What do you think of all this? And Lord Chaitanya said, I think you're just eating dry cakes with no butter, nothing like that. It's like, yeah. Yeah, you know? He said, you're taking the Vedas, which are all about love of God and service to God and ecstasy and self-fulfillment, you're taking that and you're just reducing it to some words, some syllables, some word jugglery. And that's really not fun, and it's not going to satisfy you and your students. And Lord Chaitanya said, my guru told me, Murakena Pucha Tuma Pucha Panam. My guru told me that I shouldn't spend my time in wasteful philosophical studies. I should directly connect myself in a dynamic way with the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's one of the main reasons why chanting Hare Krishna is the prescribed method in this age, because we're not so philosophically inclined. We don't have a long enough life to study all the Vedas and come to the right conclusion. But when you chant the names of the Lord, you connect the Lord directly through His holy names. And Lord Chaitanya said, I listened to you for 7 days. Now you try what I'm suggesting. And Sarvabhauma began chanting and chanting and tasting the nectar. And of course he was blessed. He was specifically blessed by Lord Chaitanya. And he became a great devotee. And hundreds of thousands of his followers joined Lord Chaitanya. At this time, Lord Chaitanya predicted, Prithivitaya chedito nagaradigam sarvachapachoyave moinam. In due course of time, my name, which is the name of Krishna, will be chanted in every town and village throughout the world. So I mentioned when I started this talk that this is a very special day in India. It's the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all of our temples in India are just thronging with hundreds and thousands and even hundreds of thousands of devotees. And of course, here in Spanish Fork, Lord Chaitanya is not so familiar, he's not so well known. So we've got, what, maybe 60, 70 people here. But the significance is that this is not Mayapur, India. This is not Bombay. This is not Ahmedabad. This is not any place where anybody, you know, 10 or 15 years ago heard anything about Lord Chaitanya. This is Spanish Fork, Utah. So... So to me, 60, 70 people in Spanish Fork, Utah is as significant as 10,000 people in Ahmedabad, Gujarat, or 5,000 people in Baroda, because it's the fulfillment of Lord Chaitanya's prediction that the chanting will go to every town and village of the world. And we know in our hearts, that if it can take a little foothold in Spanish Fork, then you know it can go anywhere and everywhere. So here's a prayer by one of the followers of Lord Chaitanya who recognized him as none other than Krishna himself. He says, let me surrender under the personality of Godhead who has appeared now as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of all mercy and has now come down to teach us material detachment, learning, and devotional service to himself. During the yoga nights, sometimes Hanuman or Nitya or Sila will be teaching yoga, and once in a while, they'll depart from standing up in the room and doing all the postures and offering a visible example. What they'll do sometimes is they'll go around the room and they'll adjust the students. They'll take an ankle or a shoulder and they'll give little pointers and so on and so forth. So they're teaching by making certain minor adjustments to the students. Or maybe all of you remember when you were learning to write, sometimes the teacher would sit down on those little tiny desks. The teacher would cram into one of those little desks and they would take your hand and they would help you form the L's and the O's and the M's and the M's. So it doesn't mean that those teachers are learning themselves, that the yoga teacher needs those little adjustments or the writing teacher needs to practice their L's or M's or N's. But they're helping out the students by sitting down and coming down to their level. So Krishna is God. He doesn't need to do any of this. But he takes it upon himself out of compassion to descend and to teach us how to love God. He comes down to our level and basically he shows us the most effective way to awaken our dormant love for God. And he spends most of his time chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada, our own guru, says that the best way of chanting, the best mood for chanting is to chant as if you were a child, a baby, crying for its mother. That yearning, that longing, that hankering will optimize the effect of the chanting. This is the mood of Radharani for Krishna. This is the mood of Radharani. Krishna spent the first, he was on the planet for 125 years. He spent the first 13 years, as you can see from that picture, where he's in the lap of Mother Yashoda. He spent the first 13 years of his childhood pastimes, this is 5,000 years ago, in the rural village of Vrindavan as the apparent son of Mother Yashoda. And in that village, Radharani headed up all the eternally liberated souls who were sold out to Krishna life and soul. And at the age of 13 or 14, then Krishna had to leave Vrindavan to go outside of Vrindavan in order to take care of demoniac kings who were terrorizing the world. And his reasoning was if he didn't go out and confront them, Vrindavan would eventually be overrun. And this beautiful devotion, of course that can never happen, but this was his reasoning. So he went out to fulfill his mission of curbing the miscreants and protecting the devotees. And when he left, being driven on the chariot of Akura, the gopis and Radharani, they fell down as if they'd lost their life. You had to hold cotton in front of their nose to make sure they were still alive. Because Krishna was their life and soul, and Krishna was leaving Vrindavan. And they felt as if they had no more reason for living. So Krishna went to Dwarka, he went to Mathura, he went to Dwarka, he made the world safe, he killed all the demoniac kings. And then many years later, there was an eclipse in Kurukshetra, a place of pilgrimage, there was an eclipse. And Krishna, the gopis heard that Krishna was going to Kurukshetra with all of his queens and his entourage and his soldiers, and they said, we'll go too. We'll go too. So they also arranged from the rural, they hadn't seen Krishna for many years. It was 14 years, in fact, since Krishna left. So they also went, along with the cowherd men and the cowherd men, and they went. And when Radharani and Krishna met at Kurukshetra, after 14 years, and Radharani saw Krishna with his crown and with his jewels and with soldiers and generals and trappings and bodyguards, and she said, you're not Krishna. You're not my Krishna. You're a big king, you're famous, you're opulent. My Krishna, we used to play hide and seek in the forest. You see, we used to play pranks and games on each other. We used to sneak out of our houses at night to dance the eternal dance of love. She says, I want you to come. I don't want you to go back to Dwarka and go back to that op. I want you, my heart is pulling out of that crown, out of that jeweled coat, off of those, I want to pull that Krishna, that baby Krishna, with the force of my love and my devotion. I want you to come back to Vrindavan. And I want things to be as they were. As they were. And Krishna said to Radharani, he said, Radha. He said, you still remember me after 14 years. You still remember me. You're still devoted to me. And she says, I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed that 14 years it's been since we saw each other and I'm still alive. That I haven't yet given up my body. So that yearning for Krishna is the mood in which the chanting of Hare Krishna is optimized. That those who are spiritually purified feel every single moment of Krishna's separation as 12 years or more. Tears flow from their eyes like torrents of rain. And they're feeling all vacant in the world in the absence of Krishna. This is called the mood of vipralamba and the mood of separation. And it's the mood in which one can most taste love of God. And that was the mood that Lord Chaitanya appeared in. And that was the mood in which Lord Chaitanya chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he spent 24 years at Puri, aside from a six-year trip to South India. And every year his yearning, his hankering to be with Krishna increased and increased and increased. And he became more and more symptomized by ecstatic symptoms and bodily transformations. As I said, he did do one tour through South India. And an interesting episode while he was traveling through South India, he went through this forest. And as he was going through the forest, he was chanting the names of the Lord. And even the tigers, bears, snakes, deer, elephants, and many other jungle animals in the forest, in their own way, they chanted Hare Krishna along with him, being touched by love of God in his presence and in his passing association. So Lord Chaitanya was very strict as a sannyasi. He didn't hate women. He didn't hate women. That wasn't the point. But he recognized that woman is like fire and man is like butter. Anyone want to dispute that assessment? Woman is like fire and man is like butter. It's not the weakness or the fault of the woman. It's the weakness of the man, that whenever the man is next to the woman, he melts. He's like butter, you see? So the Vedic system is to keep it cool, keep things a little cool, keep a little separation, so the butter is not constantly in a state of meltdown. You see what I'm saying? But for one who has taken a vow of sannyasi, he cannot associate with women at all. He has to keep very, 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 very cool all the time. So he was quite strict in his sannyas. But sometimes his followers would come up to him and they were householders and they had children. And they said, Lord Chaitanya, I want to preach. I want to go with you. I want to follow you. I want to go out and change the world. And Lord Chaitanya would discourage them from changing their position. And he would say that in this age, people don't have to change their position. What you should change is you should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculation. You should engage in loving devotional service mood. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Lord. And so one who is a master in the science of Krishna, in the science of devotion, can remain in his her position as a householder, as a man, as a woman, as a business person, but they are also gurus. The qualification for being a spiritual leader is not one's position in society, but it is one's consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya said, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi sudra keni haya, yay Krishna tattva viti sedra. And this was revolutionary in the days when the caste system was very prominent. People believed who were caste conscious that you could only become a guru if you had a certain birth in a Brahmin family. But Lord Chaitanya said, even if you're born a sudra, even if you're born the son of a cobbler, and cobbler was low class because he's always dealing with leather and dead skins, or the son of a dog eaters, you see, outcast. Lord Chaitanya said, even if you're born in that family, but you know the science of Krishna, then you're a guru. On the other hand, if you're born in a Brahmin family, but you don't know the science of Krishna, you're not a guru. And this was huge in those days. This was huge in those days. People would say this was the greatest heresy. The Brahmins would say that. And Lord Chaitanya's greatest follower, in fact, was born a Muslim. He was born a Muslim. But some or other, he developed an attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord and became known as Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, though born a Muslim, chanted 300,000 times the names of Krishna every day. His average period of chanting was 23 hours he would chant, allowing half an hour to sleep and half an hour to eat. And he did that year after year after year after year after year. Then he became about in his 60s, and he slowed down a little bit. So instead of taking 23 hours to chant his fixed number of rounds that he had vowed, it began to take him 23 hours and 15 minutes. And then he got a little older, and then it took him 23 hours and a half hour. And he became a little older, and it took him 23 hours and 45 minutes. So now he has 15 minutes a day to sleep and to eat. And then pretty soon he was in danger of not finishing his rounds before he had to start them again. And he's getting thin and skinny. And so he goes to Lord Chaitanya. And he says, I do not want to depart in this lifetime from my vow. I do not want the day to come when I am unable within a 24-hour period to chant 300,000 names of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, you're old now. Give it a break, you know. Reduce your vow. You know, you know, cut yourself a little slack. And Haridas Thakur said, no, no. I understand, because Lord Chaitanya at this point was just mad with love of God. They would lock him in his room at night for his own safety, and he'd be gone in the morning. They'd be gone. One time they found him in the ocean in the morning. He thought it was the Yamuna River in Vrindavan. He ran into the ocean, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And a fisherman pulled him up in his net and brought him to the shore. And he thought, what is this golden fish? I've never saw a fish like that. And he touched him. And then the devotees were mad. They were looking all over. Lord, where's Lord Chaitanya? He's disappeared from his locked, windowless room. Where is he? And they saw on the beach a fisherman. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. They thought, maybe that's a clue. And they went, and they said, fisherman, how, we never saw you chant. In fact, you were a big atheist before. Hare Krishna, Hare, I don't know what happened to me. Hare, I was fishing, Hare Rama. And I pulled in this big Krishna, Krishna, golden fish, Rama, Rama, Rama. And I touched him, and now I can't stop chanting and feeling ecstasy. And they said, where is that fish, by the way? Over there. That was Lord Chaitanya. So Haridas, of course, said, Lord, I sense, I don't know what it is, but I have this feeling that you're not going to be with us much longer. And I could not bear to remain after your departure. So please grant me that I'm an old man, and before I break my vows, you grant me that I precede you to the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya, do it with me. When he got that request from Haridas Thakur. You all know how to do it now, right? It's like, Not really committing himself, but not saying no either. So then, next day, Lord Chaitanya got all of his followers, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and he came, and they were all chanting through the streets and gathering people and gathering momentum. And they arrived at the little hut where Haridas Thakur was chanting his rounds, and they had a thunderous kirtan, a huge kirtan. And Haridas Thakur came out, and Lord Chaitanya stood right before Haridas Thakur with his feet right in front of Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur immediately understood that this was the fulfillment of his desire. And he grabbed the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He grabbed the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his only shelter. And it said that he looked up into the eyes, into the face, the moon-like face of Lord Chaitanya. And it said his eyes were like bumblebees. You know how fixed the bumblebees, because the honey is very sweet. And when the bumblebees get into the flower and the honey, they don't think of anything else. They're just absorbed in the wonderful taste of the honey. So it says like Haridas Thakur's eyes were fixed on Lord Chaitanya's moon-like face, just like a bee is fixed on the honey. And in that full Krishna consciousness, holding on to the feet of the Lord and gazing in his face, Haridas Thakur left his body. He left his body. And then Lord Chaitanya picked up his body. And he danced all day long. He took his dance and he went through the marketplaces. He asked all the merchants to donate fruits and grains and sweets and so on and so forth. He himself, with his own hands, Lord Chaitanya dug a grave for Haridas Thakur. And he placed lovingly. This is a Muslim. Someone who's born as a Muslim. This was unheard of in that day and age. He placed Haridas Thakur's body in the grave. And if you go to Jagannath Puri, you can go to and visit that spot. It's a very, very beautiful spot. And he covered it, and then he personally served all the devotees a beautiful, beautiful feast of Krishna Prasadam in order to commemorate the passing of Haridas Thakur. So there are many, many pastimes, many, many more things we could say about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll just tell one more thing. Otherwise, we'd be here all night long. Lord Chaitanya was a social reformer. He was a revolutionary. Long before Gandhi, he pioneered the first civil disobedience movement. Gandhi inspired civil disobedience against the British. But long before the British, there was a much more repressive and much more cruel colonial power called the Mughals. And the Mughals didn't mess around. They weren't gentlemen like the British. They could be very, very extremely vicious. In fact, the Mughals referred to India as the Hindu Kush. The Hindu Kush. The Sindh River was the river, the barrier, the natural geographical boundary that the Mughals had to cross in order to get into India. And they came from the Afghanistan and Pakistan and the mountains in the northwest part. They went through the Khyber Pass and they crossed the Indus River into the rich lowlands of India. And they called that land across the Indus River, they called those people Hindus after the river. And they called the land Hindu Kush. And Kush means mountains of bodies. Mountains of bodies. The slaughter was staggering. The slaughter was unimaginable to the human brain. That literally they conquered India at the cost of mountains and mountains of dead bodies of Hindus. So they were not nice people. They were not user friendly. And it was underneath that repressive regime that Lord Chaitanya started his movement of chanting Hare Krishna. And the local magistrates saw this as a Hindu revival movement, and it made them very nervous because colonial powers want their subjects very, very docile and very, very sedated. And here were all these people invigorated, hundreds of thousands of people coming out into the streets and chanting the names of God. And so one magistrate in Bengal, he came out with his soldiers one day and he accosted the chanting party. They go out into the streets with drums like this, but their drums were of clay. And the Muslim magistrate named Chand Kazi, he broke the madunga. He just went right up and he smashed the madunga and he threw it on the ground. And he said, "You stop this chanting movement right now." He said, "If I see anyone else out in the public streets after today, I will make them a Muslim. I will forcibly convert them to a Muslim." And in those days, if a Muslim would drink from a water cup because of the caste system, and then just pour that water, sprinkle that water on a Hindu, then he would be rejected by Hindu society. So they went to Lord Chaitanya and they said, "The Sankirtan party has been interrupted by the Chand Kazi. The drum has been broken, and he has forbidden us ever again to do Sankirtan." Lord Chaitanya, "Oh, is that a fact?" "Oh, he has." "Has he? Well, let's see about that." And instead of submitting to the order of the Muslim, Lord Chaitanya ordered every able-bodied man, woman, and child to assemble that evening after dark to bring as many drums as possible, to bring as many hand cymbals, and to bring torches to light their way. And more than 100,000 people in the city of Navadvip went through the streets chanting, and they headed for the house, the mansion of the Kazi. And there were so many of them. And the chanting was so uproarious and so loud, it moved the earths and the heaven. And all the Chand Kazi's soldiers and his body, they all ran away. They all ran away. And there's a Chand Kazi in his home. And there are, and from all the streets and all, like rivers, you know, flowing. And he's just like, "Oh." And he went upstairs and he ran and he hid under the bed. So they all assembled in his courtyard. And it just, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Lord Chaitanya called up, "Kazi, I'm not here to do any harm. Come out from under your bed. We're not here to do any harm. We're chanting the names of the Lord. It's non-sectarian. This isn't about Hindu versus Muslim. This is about awakening love of God, which is in everyone's heart. If you want to chant Allah, that's fine. But the only solution to the problems of the world, the frustrations, the aggravations, the anxieties, the relational problems, the lack of self-esteem, the lack of respect that people show to each other, the solution to all these problems is by awakening love of God. So please come down and don't be afraid. You were a friend of my uncle. You were a friend of my uncle, and so I regard you as an uncle, and I would never hurt my uncle." And in this way, the Chand Kazi came down, and you can see from the picture, he's having a nice discussion with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the end of this discussion, the Chand Kazi declared that neither myself nor any of my successors will ever inhibit the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That not only do I not want to stop it, but I will protect it, I will promote it, and I will encourage it. And in fact, even to this day, the descendants of the Chand Kazi in Shantipur and Navadvip, they're also followers of the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. So we've taken enough time. There's more, obviously. It's wonderful subject matter. It's a vast subject matter. If you're interested to know more about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're welcome to pick up any of his biographies, which are downstairs in the gift store. Particularly, we recommend the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj. So thank you very much for your kind attention. And hopefully we've informed you a little bit about Lord Chaitanya and the significance to us of the devotional persuasion of this particular day. And at this point in time, we're going to have what is traditionally a part of an appearance day celebration. It's called an Abhishekam, and we bring the deity of the Holy Personality up onto the dais here, and we invite everyone to step forward and develop your personal relationship with the Lord by bathing the deity with this nice substance of yogurt and mango and fruit juices and so on and so forth, while the chanting and the glorification of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna goes on. So we'll just take a moment here to set everything up, and then if you like, you can come up, line up on this side, and one by one, we'll do the bathing while Jai Krishna and the devotees continue to chant the devotional songs. Thank you very much.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.